ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife Science.
If you search the net to ask what are the world's fastest land animals, then the top 10 list comes up. And as you'd imagine, the cheetah tops the list. It can hit 105 kilometres per hour, they say. Apparently a good quarter horse, whatever that is in there at 71 kilometres per hour. And a red kangaroo, a big boomer, can do 55 k's an hour, so they say. But then there is the humble wombat, which apparently can get up to 40 k's an hour, according to reports. Or can it? There is considerable controversy about whether or not the often quoted speed of 40 kilometres per hour, for a wombat is in fact true or not. There was doubt about who clocked it and what the conditions were. When researchers looked into it to see what the true story is and to try and explain further, further embarrassment ensued. We're joined by Belinda Smith from ABC Science. Belinda, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks very much, Phil. Good to be back.
This is a funny story, isn't it? I mean, wombats are very wombats are very cute, not so cuddly. They're good at digging. They're muddle-headed, but fleet of foot. Well, you wouldn't have thought it, but the fun fact about wombats being pretty quick over a short period of time is such a fun fact that we never really let it go, did we?
It's such a good little fun fact. Had you heard this one before?
I had, yes.
Yeah. I feel like it's been around for quite some time now that a wombat can hit a top speed of 40 kilometres an hour on its own feet. So this is not, you know, it getting tossed out of a car or anything. Like galloping along the ground.
For short periods, that's right. For short periods.
Short periods, yes.
They can run faster than Usain Bolt.
That's
sort of.
That's the claim. It's a bold claim. Let's just say that.
So, I know, but it's kind of in there, isn't it? If you go looking, you'll quickly come across this fact that for a short period of short distance, wombats can really sprint, maybe up to 40 k's an hour.
Well, they are just a little ball of muscle, right? Like Usain Bolt is quite big for a sprinter as well. He's just all muscle. And even though a wombat kind of looks like a tub of, I don't know, butter, that they are just a muscly little unit. And so they can put on some speed at 40 k's an hour. So my colleague, Pete de Cruyff, who's in Perth, he looked into this claim because he was a bit sceptical. He thought 40 k's an hour is actually quite fast, especially when you're talking about something with short, stumpy legs. And, you know, a wombat doesn't look particularly aerodynamic, right? Let's face it. So he had looked to see where that claim came from, and he found out that it was probably first quoted in a documentary from the 1970s, the early 1970s. But the bloke who suggested it may have gotten the miles and the kilometres mixed up. So instead of saying we've clocked them at 25 kilometres an hour, he might have said 25 miles an hour, which is roughly 40 k's an hour. So that's where, you know, Pete maybe thought that that's where the claim started. But it's amazing. You see videos of the scientists in the 70s trying to catch wombats, and the wombats are really fanging along. They're really fast. Have you seen any of these little clips?
No, but go on.
Oh, I recommend having a look at the ABC Science section on the ABC News website. There's a video of a wombat. It's running along this sort of desert, the desert's like really red soil. And then this car comes out of nowhere in hot pursuit. And two scientists jump out. Meanwhile, the wombat just puts on this amazing burst of speed and outruns the two scientists, one of which is holding a comically large butterfly net to try and catch it. It's really quite something. So you think, wow, they are pretty quick. They're faster than, you know, a normal non-superhuman sprinter human, right? So Pete had spoke to some people, and they all sort of agreed that maybe 20, 25 k's an hour would be the top speed of a wombat. And again, over short distances. But then he got in touch with a biologist who's in South Australia, and he's been studying, his name's David Taggart, and he's been studying the southern hairy-nosed wombat for maybe 30 years now. And he has published a couple of books where he says that the southern hairy-nosed wombat can run at 40 k's an hour, that claim again. So Pete asked him where you got that figure from, and he said, no, I've measured a wombat running at 40 k's an hour. again, they can't maintain that speed for very long. But, you know, after about 150 metres, they'll just sort of get tired and stop running. But it seems like, yeah, a wombat might be able to take on Usain Bolt over 100 metres.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Seems unlikely, doesn't it? Really?
Could you imagine that race? A little wombat on the starting blocks and Usain Bolt lined up next to them, and then the gun goes and the wombat's just galloping along.
I'm not backing the wombat.
You're not backing the wombat. Okay, fine. Yeah, look, they might get distracted by the crowd. But
anyway, so maybe they can. In other words, the outcome of all this is maybe they can.
Maybe they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ride off the speed of a wombat.
All right, what about this? Researchers have discovered the cause of the brightest burst of light ever recorded. This was an exploding star, they thought, or they think. But in doing so, they might have run up against two bigger mysteries, which is one that casts doubt on where heavy elements like gold come from.
Yeah, that's right. So this, like most brightest cosmic explosion ever measured, or the BOAT, brightest of all time, was measured on the 9th of October in 2022. And it was so bright, especially in gamma radiation. So it was bright across, you know, what we'd consider to be visible light to our eyes, as well as infrared, X-ray and radio waves. But specifically in gamma rays, it was incredibly bright, like 100 times brighter than any other explosion that's ever been detected in the universe since we've had telescopes, obviously. And so astrophysicists are like, wow, that must be something pretty interesting behind this huge flash. And so some physicists published in Nature Astronomy this week, or maybe last week, they think it was actually a fairly run-of-the-mill exploding star, a supernova. And what's happened is that when this massive star collapsed in on of itself, it shrugged off a huge burst of light, which is pretty standard for an exploding star. But it did so in a way that it spat out this light in two jets, so going spurting out maybe like the poles on Earth, but one sort of up and one down. And maybe Earth was right in the line, in the way of one of these jets. So we just got blasted by all this light that would normally just be spread out around the star. Kind of like if you put your thumb over the end of a garden hose and the water gets a thin stream but really powerful. It's kind of like that, but with light. And so they think, well, okay, so we've got this bright burst. Maybe it was a pretty, standard supernova behind it, but they had to wait until that bright burst of light and its afterglow disappeared, because it sort of washed out everything out around it. It's like when you're driving along a highway at night and cars come towards you with high beams on, you can't see anything else. You can't see the car, but you just see the light. You're going to wait until the car goes past, or maybe if they turn the lights down to a point that you can actually see the car. That's kind of what the astronomers had to do here. And once that glow had disappeared, they could see that, it was a pretty standard supernova. So it wasn't actually that amazing phenomenon behind this huge burst of light. But what they could tell also by looking at the light coming off the supernova was the elements that was inside or had just been pushed out by this exploding star. And there was a theory that gold, lead, platinum, those sorts of heavy elements might be created in these kinds of supernova. So we know that gold, well, we think this is the only evidence we have for gold, is that it's created when two super dense dead stars called neutron stars collide in this huge explosion, sort of smooshes protons together, and you end up with these really heavy elements. That's where the gold in like gold jewelry is made from. And then they thought, well, there seems to be a lot of gold around and not that many neutron star collisions, so there must be another source of gold somewhere. And physicists thought that maybe these kinds of stellar explosions, these supernovae, might be one of those sources of gold. But, by looking at this supernova, there don't seem to be any traces of gold or very little gold in its spectrum, in the light that we can see coming off of it. So, well, you know, it's a mystery of missing gold.
Maybe gold isn't made in these supernova explosions at all.
Maybe not. Or maybe there's a particular kind of, I don't know, some quality to the star, or maybe it's a star of a certain size, some other aspect of an exploding star that might make it more likely to produce gold than not. It just seems to be that this one, nah.
Yeah, sure. Now, if your pet cat or dog, or indeed another pet for that matter, sneezes, I don't know which other, I don't know, do birds sneeze?
Do they sneeze?
Do birds sneeze?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't think I've seen a bird sneeze. But anyway, putting that aside, I've certainly seen a cat or a dog sneeze. You should be perhaps more beware. You should be aware of it more than you think. Why?
Well, even though the risk is very low, you can get some diseases from pets. And generally, if you're a healthy person, it's not a big deal. If you're immunocompromised, it might become a problem. But there was a paper that's being published, presented to a conference later this month, which suggests that pets and humans can exchange superbugs. So they're the bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics. And this study came from Portugal and the UK, and they surveyed a bunch of households, each of which had at least a dog in there, so quite a few dogs and cats, so 5 cats, 38 dogs and 78 humans from Portugal, and 22 dogs and 56 humans from the UK. All the humans were healthy and all the pets had some kind of infection, like it might be a skin infection or a urinary tract infection. And they found by taking fecal and urine samples and skin swabs from all of these pets and people, there was quite a lot of bacterial transmission between the pets and the humans. So in Portugal, they found one dog had one multi-drug resistant E. coli strain in it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of the cats and dogs from Portugal, and actually about a third of the humans, also had resistant bacteria. In the UK, you sort of saw similar things. There were various dogs, not all of them had these kinds of bacteria, but quite a lot of them did. And the scientists thought, well, who infects who? Like, do the humans infect the dogs and the cats, or is it the other way around? And they can't really say for sure, but the evidence seems to be that the pets are passing them on to the humans. Just because a couple of the positive tests for some of this bacteria, the timing of them suggests that, you know, the pets had them first. And they were passing on these bacteria to their humans.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So don't, like,
ask your dog, to use a tissue, in other words.
Yeah, get the
sanitizer. I don't know how the bird manages that. What do you do in front of a sneezing budgie?
Well, then you would hope it doesn't have bird flu in that case.
Exactly.
I know it's really hard not to snuggle with your pets, and, you know, I totally get that. These humans were healthy, and so even though they might be harboring those bacteria, they're not necessarily going to cause you any harm. But if you are, like I said, immunocompromised, it may be a problem.
Mm. Okay. All right, Belinda, always interesting. Thank you.
No worries.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.